Gopi Tandava Lava Girivara Dhari Gopi Tandava Lava Girivara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Suda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Raja Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Sri Advaita Charja Prabhu ki jai Gaura Premanandi. All glorious to the sum of devotees. All glorious to the sum of devotees. All glorious to the sum of devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Varaya Krishna Prasavare Srimati Bhakti Varanda Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pachari Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pastyatari Shitari So today being the holy appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu, we're going to not read from the Bhagavatam, but instead we're going to read from a very nice book entitled Sri Panchatattva, which was compiled by Satyaraj Prabhu. And it's a compilation of information coming from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangala, and some other very wonderful Gauranganadesha Dipika. There's all sorts of sources that were used to produce this so it it's we can accept it to be something very authoritative. So Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Nistarita Shesha Jnana Jayalum Premamritabdho Parimagna Chitam Chaitanya Chandadritam Architantam Advaita Chandram Shirasanamami. I offer my obeisances unto the merciful Sri Advaita Chandra, whose heart is inundated by the ocean of prema. He delivers infinite numbers of devotees and is honored and worshipped by Sri Chaitanya Chandra. So, it's described here that the life of Advaitacharya has been a subject of several texts. And there's also brief references to his life as we're going to relate here in his in Mahaprabhu's biographies, which again would be the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Mangala. But tradition has it that Labhadevi, Advaitacharya's mother, once had a dream in which Lord Sadashiva, which is the original form of Shiva, appeared. And in that dream, Lord Shiva foresaw the wicked condition of the age of Kali and how it would destroy all of the godly qualities in man. And in her dream, Sadashiva is described filled with compassion. He was feeling great anxiety, as we know, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava, and in that mood of the Vaishnava, one is very compassionate. And Advaita was feeling that also. And so what did he do? He went to the causal ocean where Lord Vishnu resides, and he began to perform austerities. And it's described there that he performed these austerities for some 700 years. And not for some mystic power, as we may think that tapasvis and yogis would do, but instead on behalf of the humanity, the suffering humanity. And seeing Lord Shiva in this compassionate mood, the Lord appeared before him and spoke to him and said, "My dear Shiva, Sadashiva, why are you trying to please me with difficult austerities, as you and I are the same?" And Lord Sadashiva replied that my dear Lord, unless you empower me to save mankind in the age of Kali, how can I do it? And hearing this, Mahavishnu was so moved that he embraced Sadashiva, and thus came the manifestation of Advaita Charja. As this dream continued of Labhadevi's, she also saw Lord Yamaraj, who we know is the Lord of Death of the lower regions. He appeared also in that dream, and he began to speak to Lord Vishnu that, my dear Lord, if you appear in this form, all of the there won't be any sinful people for me to take to hell. If you appear in this form in the age of Kali to relieve these suffering conditioned souls and to liberate them, give an opportunity for salvation, what service do I have? Everything will be taken away. But Lord Mahavishnu replied that, no, actually, there will be plenty of jnanis, impersonalists, mental speculators. There'll be plenty of them available for you to take to hell. And we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita that this is also the understanding that in the discussions between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, that the Lord's appearance is to liberate so many fallen souls. But the condition is such that there will always be some forgetful living being that comes into material existence and follows the path of material life. So, that being understood, that Lord Yama would still have some service, he was satisfied and he went back to his abode. The father of Advaitacharya was a Kuvera Pandit, and it's interesting to know who he was in his previous life. He was Kuvera, the treasurer of the lower regions, and lord of the Yakshas. So it was also very significant that he was blessed, Yakshas being the servants of Lord Shiva. It's significant to know that he was blessed to be the father of Advaitacharya. Before his birth, Advaita's birth, it's described that Kuvera Pandit and Labhadevi had four other, they had six sons, but four of them, it's described they took sannyas and leaving home for the holy places, leaving only Advaita and his other brother. And Kuvera Pandit became very despondent that his four sons had left home, and as a result, he took a leave of absence from his work. And I went with his wife to Shantipur in West Bengal, and they spent time there on the bank of the Ganga performing austerities. And while performing those austerities, Advaita Prabhu manifested himself within their minds. And without cessation. And it's described that they developed an effulgence. They were so infused with the mercy of Advaitacharya. Shortly after that, Lubba Devi gave a pregnancy, or became pregnant, and is described that the divine child, Advaitacharya, appeared somewhere in the area of February, most say, in 1432. And during his, after his birth, the astrologers came and they did one reading, as is customary in Vedic culture, that when a child is born, the chart is given. And the astrologers predicted that this divine baby would deliver the entire world. And this, of course, enlivened Advaitacharya's parents. And the family priest who was there gave him the name Kamalaksha, or Lotus-Eyed One. And he also gave him the name of Advaita, which is that he is non-different from the Lord. And it's said that the baby Advaita engaged in many naughty childhood activities, as did Nimai and Nitai. He refused to drink his mother's breast milk, and there was some confusion. Why is this? The child appears to be healthy, but why he doesn't want to drink his mother's milk? So Advaita's mother, knowing that what does it say here? Yeah, Mother Lubba Devi had a divine vision. Oh, this is, I said that baby engaged in many, would do many. It is said that baby Advaita engaged in many naughty childhood activities, such as, just as Nimai and Nitai would do many years later. He refused to drink from his mother's breast unless she loudly chanted Hare Krishna. He also enjoyed bewildering people with his divine powers. There's a very interesting pastime that as Kamalaksha was growing, he began to exhibit various mystical potencies. And in one dream, Lubba Devi dreamt that she was on a mountain that with Kamalaksha, and she had this intense desire to be bathed in the holy rivers of India. So she always had this desire. So then one night, as she was having this divine vision, her child took her to a high mountain in Srihatta area on the day called Varuna Snan, which is a very auspicious day in March, April. And Lubba Devi had long desired to bathe in the holy rivers of India. So that on this auspicious day, Kamalaksha took her to this mountain to fulfill her blessed desire. As they stood on this mountain, all of India's holy rivers appeared before Kamalaksha in personified form and offered prayers to him. With the reverberation of conch shells, the rivers ascended the mountain and began to shower Mother Labha with her divine waters. As Kamalaksha's mother enjoyed feeling the holy rivers engulf her body, he said, "Look, Mother, there is the river Saraswati, Ganga, Jamuna, Narmada, Godavari. This incident is remembered today still in Srihatta as Varuna Snan." Kamalaksha's childhood was replete with activities in the mood of Lord Shiva, who is also known as Rudra, the god of anger. There's a very interesting discussion or description here that once he was playing with one of his classmates, the son of the king of Divya Singha, who was the king of the area, and the prince began to mock the devotees who were chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Kamalaksha became so angry at the prince who was there, who was actually, he was quite brave, he fainted out of shock. And this happened in a number of places. One time they were visiting the temple of Durga, and Advaita refused to follow or offer respects to the deity, and the son was perturbed that you should be offering respect to Durga Devi. But Kamalaksha refused, and the king's son, became so disturbed that he went and called Kamalaksha's father, and the father came and began to try and explain to him why when you go into the temple you should offer respects to the deity. And Kamalaksha's response was that as the Chakora bird, I can only live on moonlight. I can only worship Lord Vishnu or Krishna. And just then, the deity of Durga burst, and the divine form of Durga appeared. And there was an illumination in all directions, as described, and a mystical voice then filled the room, proclaiming, "The husband will never bow down to the wife." In this way, Durga indicated that the boy Kamalaksha was none other than Durga's husband, Lord Shiva. And the king, when he heard this and saw this whole experience, as a result, became a Vaishnava and established a large temple in his kingdom. And he also arranged for very elaborate festivals to be held regularly on Vaishnava holidays, and converted to becoming a devotee, eventually taking initiation. After the king's conversion, Kamalaksha, still a young boy, went with his parents to Shantipur, which is where his family is from, and lived on the bank of the Ganga, and began his studies. And there was one school teacher there whose name was Santacharya. He was the teacher in the school, one of the teachers, he was the headmaster. And he knew of Advaita Charya's divinity and wanted to reveal it to the rest of the boys. So he took the boys on one trip. They went to a large lake, and in the middle of the lake there was a beautiful lotus flower growing. And he asked his disciples, the young boys, which of you can go and get this lotus flower? I would like to have it. None of the boys, of course, could do it, but Advaitacharya volunteered that I can go and get this lotus flower for you. So he began to step into the water very carefully. And as he was stepping, each step, a lotus would come up. And he would walk across the water, stepping on lotuses. And at the same time, a beautiful Seshanag appeared over his head. So as he was walking along, he was protected overhead, and he was walking along with lotus flowers, and in this way he was able to get this beautiful lotus for his guru. And when all the boys saw this, they could all understand again that this Kamalaksha was a divine personality. And they would always respect Advaita from that day on, instead of sometimes they would again joke about his chanting Hare Krishna. And so when Advaita reached his teens, his parents, both in their 80s and 90s, they were quite old when they had him, they departed this world. And Advaita mourned his parents, as a son should, and went on a pilgrimage. And it was on this pilgrimage that he met Madhavendra Puri, who we understand from Chaitanya Charitamrita became his preceptor, his guru. And Madhavendra Puri immediately fell in great love for this young boy, Advaita. And he could see the his embodiment as being a perfect devotee. And together they discussed various spiritual topics and the condition of the Kali Yuga as it would progress, and being full of quarrel and hypocrisy. There were so many anomalies that would come in this age of Kali. So they had some very nice discussions. And it was at this time that Advaita predicted the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and describing to Madhavendra Puri the confidential leela of the Lord. And so they immediately had a very close and intimate relationship. Advaitacharya then went off and continued with his pilgrimage, shaving his head, and he went to Mathura. And it was there in Mathura that he visited a Krishna Janmastan and took parikram of the Brajdham area. And while there, he arrived in Vrindavan, and he went to this, everyone knows, most people know, Dasavidya Ditya Tila, the hill where Madan Mohan is established, the temple is established there. But it was at this hill that he met had this vision of Madan Mohan. And in a dream, the deity Madan Mohan appeared to Advaita and told him that he was being worshipped here in this area, but because the Muslims had come, he had hid himself under some leaves, and that he should find him, unearth him, and begin his worship. So Advaitacharya, finding the deity, installed him and began the customary bathing ceremony, which is there, as we normally do with our deities, a very nice Abhishek ceremony. And it's described that Advaita Prabhu rubbed the deity's body so thoroughly that the Lord regained his original blackish complexion. Some days later, when Advaita was traveling, he was traveling constantly. When he left, some Muslims had come and attacked Advaita Vat, the location of the deity. And the deity hid himself under, some leaves, so that the invaders wouldn't find him. When Advaita returned, the Madan Mohan again told him in the dream where he had hid himself, and he requested Advaita to dig him up and give him to Purushottam Chauda, which was a local Brahmin. And this Purushottam Chauba was a resident of Mathura who later gave that Madan Mohan deity to Srila Sanatan Goswami to serve. The Lord told Advaita that he should return to Shantipur in Bengal and install two deities. So Advaita is having this conversation with the deity. It's quite interesting. And further informed Advaita that the during this time period that he said that these deities that Advaita should return to Bengal and install two more deities. He said that these deities should be carved according to a picture that was painted by Radharani's dear friend Vishakha. Madan Mohan further informed Advaita that the picture was hidden in Seva Kunj and revealed its exact location. It was during this period that Madhavendra Puri came to Vrindavan and met Advaita Acharya for a second time. And when Advaita related this story that he had with Madan Mohan, this experience with Madan Mohan, the Puripad immediately fell into ecstasy and concurred that the deity he explained to Advaita, he was in ecstasy and told him of, and was told by Madan Mohan's order. And concurring with the deity, he explained to Advaita then the inappropriateness of worshipping Krishna without Radha, since Krishna can never be happy without her love. She is his pleasure-giving potency, the Ladini Shakti, and Krishna feels incomplete without her presence. So, Madhavendra Puri advised Advaita, therefore, that he should get married in order to worship the deity properly. And he suggested that because mendicants have a tendency to give up their deities at death, the householder always has his wife, family, relatives, etc. And the worship of the deity will continue on nicely. And Advaita considered this, but he didn't act on it. Instead, he continued with his travel and preaching. Advaita then went off to Shantipur with Madhavendra Puri, where it's described that they stayed for 1 month. And it is at this time in Shantipur that Madhavendra Puri gave initiation to Advaita Prabhu. And soon after that ceremony, Madhavendra Puri left Shantipur to continue his mission in other parts of India. And so after his initiation, Advaita became very much respected in the Vaishnav community. And after defeating a champion scholar in debate, a voice in the sky uttered the following words: "This Brahmana is not an ordinary man, he is God himself. Because nobody is more learned than him, his name is Advaita." It was at this time also that Advaita met Haridas Thakur and began developing a relationship with him and some of the other Vaishnavas in Bengal. When it was also at this time that Nimai Pandit, or Nimai, baby Nimai, appeared. And when the baby was born, he also, it's interesting, refused his mother's breast milk. And again, the same experience was there, that so many, why is it that the child is not taking their brother, the mother's breast milk? And Sachimata called Advaita, because he was understood to have been a very learned and a perfect person to counsel, to take counsel from. So they called for Advaita, and Advaita said that because a mother, Sachi, and her husband were not initiated, the child would not take her milk. So immediately they took initiation from Advaitacharya, and lo and behold, Nimai began drinking her breast milk. It was shortly after this time, when Advaita had turned 50 years old, that he decided to take Madhavendra Puri's advice to get married. And he took on two wives, just like Purnamasi and Yogamaya gave initiation to the two young ladies. He gave them Vaishnav initiation, Siddhanta, and gradually taught them in the intricacies of Bhakti Yoga. It's described here also that Advaita could not tolerate the complete absence of spirituality in the people of his time. To alleviate the burden of the masses, he tried various forms of worship. And that, again, we learn from Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that he began to offer Tulsi and Ganga to the Lord, and in this way he called for the Lord to appear. When Mahaprabhu displayed his pastimes in Navadvip, Advaitacharya, Prabhu was already settled in Shantipur. But no one knew of his identity. It was Advaitacharya who was the first who boldly proclaimed that Mahaprabhu was none other than the Supreme Lord Himself. And was always trying to establish the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would always, he was always very eager to get the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. So he would contrive all sorts of ways to achieve that. And in one circumstance, he began to preach Mayavad philosophy. Again, that is something that's further described in Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he would begin preaching all sorts of Mayavad ideas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so angry that he would that he came and he kicked Advaita in the back. So in so many ways, he was always trying to establish the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Mother Sachi accused Advaita Acharya, her guru, of initially convincing her first son Vishwarupa to leave her and take sannyas, and now he was taking away her youngest child in the same way. For this offense to her guru, Nimai asked her to touch Advaita Prabhu's lotus feet, and then out of true grateful spirit, Nimai gave her a gift of divine love. That again is something that's very nicely described in greater detail in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It is said that Advaita remained manifest on earth for a full 25 years after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu, which would mean that he was in the area of 125 years old. And just like Krishna, but his Leela was divided into five phases. In Krishna Leela, Advaita manifested first of all three phases, the childhood, boyhood, and youth. But Advaita Prabhu also displayed a fourth and a fifth known as adulthood and old age. According to recognized acharyas, Advaita in his idealized form looks like an ever-fresh youth despite his old age. Reference to a youthful and unbearded Advaita can also be found in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary on Chaitanya Bhagavat. It should be said in conclusion that Advaita Prabhu was clearly the efficient cause of both Mahaprabhu's appearance and disappearance. While his fervent prayers brought Mahaprabhu to this planet, a point we have already touched upon, it was his cryptic poem saying that rice is no longer needed in the marketplace because everyone has become mad like Mahaprabhu himself, quote unquote, that led to Mahaprabhu's disappearance. This sonnet has a concealed meaning that bewildered the mass of devotees. Only Swarup Damodar Mahaprabhu and perhaps Jagadananda Pandit, who brought the poem to Mahaprabhu from Advaita, were able to fully understand it. Basically, the rice referred to Mahaprabhu himself, and since love of God had spread sufficiently, the rice was no longer needed. Advaita was in essence saying that Mahaprabhu had fulfilled his mission, had accomplished what he had intended to achieve. Since people were now intoxicated with love of God, Mahaprabhu no longer needed to stay on the planet to supply rice in the marketplace. In this way, Advaita Prabhu plays what in some ways may be considered the most important role in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He unveils the Lord's Leela for the conditioned souls of the phenomenal world, and then after accomplishing Mahaprabhu's mission of love, he winds it up and sends it back to the spiritual world. So that was just sort of a condensed overview of Advaita Prabhu's wonderful appearance in life and pastimes. Any questions or comments or
it was that pastime where the parents became disciples of that particular, I don't remember the name of the guru. Then later on, when Vishwarup left, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, the mother was, you know, like blaming Advaita Acharya, and it appears that she was committing an offense to her guru at that time. So Lord Chaitanya called her to take the lotus feet of Lord Advaita so she could... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To offer obeisances to Advaita.
But it wasn't really like the big offense. It was just like...
It was a loving exchange.
Yeah, loving exchange.
Yeah. But one thing I noticed that from reading this life is that his life was very measured in what he wanted to do. He had a plan for his preaching work. He had a plan for his service. And I think it's Advaita Acharya. It indicates that he's teaching by example. So by his example, he taught how one should engage in a devotional service and have a plan for what you want to do in your service. It's not that we take on a position or ashram for some without a clear idea what you want to do. He was very clear that when he turned 50 that he would do what he needed to do with furthering his preaching. But prior to that, he was also very measured in how he wanted to execute his duties. So in every way he was showing by a good example how one should engage in the process of bhakti yoga. Then he taught his family, his children, Achyutananda being one of them. He's glorified as a very exalted son. So, from that, for me anyway, it was showing by example how one should conduct one's life properly.
There is also one important point that how Srila Prabhupada went to the Advaita Bhavan, that's mentioned in the Mula Prakriti's book, in which Srila Prabhupada went to beg and cry for the mercy of Lord Advaita to be able to spread Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, the Advaita Vata, that's still there. You can go there to this day. It's right at the foot of that hill where Sanatana Goswami received or was able to establish the Madan Mohan Temple. Yeah, it's interesting how by Advaita Acharya, Sanatana Goswami receives Madan Mohan, who instructs Advaita in what he should do in Shantipur. It's very fascinating how all of that is connected.
Probably one important point also that in the comment of in the prayers of Advaita Acharya, a call to the Lord to descend because he saw that he himself was not able to convince these people. Unless you descend, my Lord, all these people who are engaged in fruitive activities and impersonalism, you know, will be saved. So that was 500 years ago. And right now we're seeing this is like, it appears that it's like in a big, multiplied thousands of times. So that prayer was done for the Lord to descend. And right now in Kali Yuga, we have the holy name, right? So that will be equal to say that, you know, Lord Chaitanya came to fulfill the prayer of Advaita Acharya. But right now we have more than that. 500 years ago, people have become totally materialistic, hundreds of times more, and impersonally. But someone will say, well, what is Lord Advaita? What is, how come they don't appear? But it actually, the holy name is here fulfilling that same prayer that he did.
Yeah, it's a continuation. Any other comments? Yes, in the back. Govinda Basu.
Did I hear you properly where you said that in Vrindavan, in the Madan Mohan temple, that Advaita Acharya received instruction at that temple there in Madan Mohan in Vrindavan?
Yes. It was Advaita who unearthed that deity who was later given to a Brahmana, and that Brahmana gave it to Sanatan Goswami, who established the Madan Mohan temple. Sri Advaita Charja Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.